So on September 13th, 2009, almost 7 years ago, I climbed into this pulpit for the first time. And I shared with you what was a unique kind of sermon to give. The main content of the sermon that day was actually the product of a class I took on essay competition. I took that class right at the end of seminary. It was the product of a challenge given by my instructor in the composition of an essay, write about a cliche. So this morning I'm going to offer you that sermon again. It serves as kind of a bookend to our time together, the time we've spent ministering to this world and to each other as we've tried to follow the way of Jesus. It goes like this. In the fall of the year 1965, an 80-year-old woman and a 10-year-old boy sat packing boxes in a second-floor bedroom. My father, some weeks before, had announced to the family that he had accepted the position of rector in a church in Florida. We were all, needless to say, devastated. My grandmother, who was living with us and had been since the time of the death of her husband 10 years before, was making the move with us. And I, that 10-year-old boy, sat dazed in the midst of the confusion of that move. She was short, a stout woman, as strong and as earthy as she was Aryan in descent. She and I had become close over the years, so it was natural during a chaotic time to find me in her room helping her pack, or perhaps more accurately, watching her make order out of chaos. Anyway, the room was filled with boxes, some with colored wool that she used in making hooked rugs. Some with stacks of old copies of the Reader's Digest or trinkets of things she had picked up over the years. And I sat on her bed, lazily leafing through one of those Reader Digests as grandmother went on with her work. "Daniel," she asked. "What, Grandma?" I replied. "What do you think about the move to Florida? Do you think you'll like it?" "Oh, I don't know," I said, picking my head up from the magazine. "I don't know anybody who's ever lived in Florida." "Well," she said, "I've been to Florida a couple times, once with Mrs. White and another time with your Uncle Phil. It was warm and sunny all the time. It's nice. It's even like that in winter. Did you know that?" "Yes, Grandma," as I lowered my head back down to the Reader's Digest. "We're going to live by the beach, so the ocean will be real close, and you can go swimming whenever you want to." "I guess so, Grandma," I mumbled. You see, I was not keen on the move at all. I had too many friends that I did not want to leave behind, and too many water holes that I'd grown up playing in. "What's the matter, Daniel? Are you going to miss Brooks and Randy and the gang?" "I guess so," I said. "Hey, Grandma, do they have hurricanes down there where we're going?" "Yes, they do," she answered. "Well, won't that be dangerous? I mean, our house could get blown away or something, like the Wizard of Oz." "Daniel," she said, "it won't be so bad. You'll make new friends. You'll even find that you can come back up here and visit your old buddies from time to time. But Grandma, it won't be the same. How do I know if they'll like me anymore if I do?" As I was saying this, my grandmother bent down to shift the contents of one box to another. In doing so, she knocked over a container filled with old trinkets and sewing spools. I got off the bed to help her pick up the stuff, and in doing so, I likewise knocked over a box of Reader's Digests. We looked at one another for a moment, dropped to our knees, and laughed. We laughed at our clumsiness, we laughed at the mess around us, but most of all, I guess we laughed to break the tension. But when finally things settled down again, my grandmother sat me down on the bed and said this to me. "It's funny what you hold on to when you have to move. Silly things. Things like old spools and magazines. Things that for some reason you just can't part with because really the things you care most about, those things you can't take with you. When I left Butler, PA, to come and live with you, I left my friends. I left your grandfather. I left the home we had lived in before he died, the places where your mother and aunt and uncle grew up, places like this home, places I loved very much. It was hard to leave them. It was hard to leave the friends that I shared those moments with. But above all, I knew it was time to leave. It was time to move on. A part of me wanted to stay, but I knew that I needed to be with you all, to take care of you and for you to take care of me. I knew that I couldn't carry everything I wanted with me. You know, Daniel, it's like they say, a rolling stone gathers no moss. Well, even as a child, I understood what my grandmother was saying. I understood that you couldn't carry friends with you. I couldn't carry the woods behind my house with me to Florida. Yet even, I must admit, that even back then, in that second floor bedroom, there was something else my grandmother had forgotten. For as I looked around her room, I realized that although she had indeed left a lot behind, she also carried a lot with her. She left her friends and cherished things behind, yet she carried along with her little things. Trinkets, spools, pieces of colored cloth, all tangible relics of the people she loved. They were packed away carefully each time she moved, and just as carefully unpacked when she arrived at a new place. And it was because of these things that she could not and would not ever forget the places she had known and the people she had loved. And so you see, there was a flaw in her logic, because rolling stones do gather moss. We, as rolling stones, gather moss. Although we can't carry along with us the stuff or the people we'd like to, the boxes we pack are filled with things that spark our memories of the people and places and times that we have loved and been loved. This week in my office, as I was packing away things, that truth was so very evident to me. For as I packed away my things, I found myself relishing the relics of my time with you. Relics like the certificate of being installed as rector of Emmanuel Church. All the notes that have been given me over the years as we have walked the journeys of life and the journeys of death, the journeys of mission, the journeys of serving God in this world. The slate engraving of the church given to me at my installation, cards, emails sent to me over the last 2 months, notes of thanks and appreciation from the people of this parish and the people of the broader St. Louis community. All of those things I began packing away this week. And with them, I have put into permanent storage my memory of you, in my memory of all that God has given us in this place over the years. All of them are symbols of the incredible ministry we have shared in Christ's name in Webster Groves, and shared in this metropolitan area. They are relics of my time with you. They are the moss that covers this rolling stone. And as I carry them with me, as I move from one place to another, for me, they will be permanent reminders of God's grace and God's love all the days of my life. Amen.